ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Garuccio scores, and Sydney end the season of the Premiers. What a dramatic night.
It took a penalty shootout to get there, but Sydney FC are headed to New Zealand to play Auckland in the A-League Men's Grand Final. There are many storylines baked into this one, like the fact that the start-up Kiwi team are making the big dance in just their second season, or the Sydney FC players and coaches who have jumped across the ditch to help the Black Knights win a title. Lots happening. Speaking of lots happening, a bit going on in the AFL this weekend too. Can the Bulldogs bounce back from their loss to Carlton last week? How will the Eagles celebrate Harley Reid's 50th game? Oh, and some guy named Scott Pendlebury will wear a gold number on his back. I'm Poppy Penny, and this is ABC Sport Daily. Robbie Thompson is calling the A-League Men's Grand Final this weekend for Paramount Plus and Channel 10. Robbie, Auckland hosting Sydney FC on Saturday. This was maybe not the Grand Final people predicted when the home and away season finished up, because this is third playing fifth by those metrics. The Black Knights will go in as favourites, and it's taken 18 years for a Kiwi-based team to make the Grand Final, but it only took Auckland two. They've never lost to the Sky Blues. What makes Auckland FC such a formidable opponent for Sydney?
Well, several factors come into it. I think one is they're an expansion club owned by a millionaire American who's used to getting things done the best way possible. He's a multi-club owner. He has a footballing sports empire, including English Premier League clubs, French First Division clubs, Portuguese clubs. So they have a formula that they know what works. And when you add to that the people that they put on in place right from the very start at Auckland at the start of last year when they got the license and knew they were coming in, they've done an exceptional job. In their first year in the league, they lost only three times. They won the Premier's plate for finishing first in the regular season.
Bring out the plate and let the celebrations begin. Auckland FC are A-League Premiers.
This year, they've changed things up. A couple of players left. A couple of players came in. You're right to say that perhaps we weren't expecting it. No, we've never had a grand final without one of the top two finishers in a grand final. So it's a little bit of history in Auckland tomorrow night. But Auckland are just formidable because defensively, they are so disciplined. They're so rigid. Steve Corica has the experience. He's won the championship as a player with Sydney. He's brought them through as coach to win it twice as well. So in several respects, they are well-resourced. They are ultimately professional outfit in the A-League. And defensively, they are rock solid. So they are a very hard side to beat.
The story within the story kind of revolves around that backline and also that coach, Jake Girdwood-Reich. He started his career at Sydney FC, spent about 8 years there, I think, coming up as a junior. And the Auckland coach, Steve Corica, who you mentioned, played over 100 games for the Sky Blue and coached them until the end of 2023. They're now trying to beat their old side for a title. How's the rivalry going to be on Saturday?
It's going to be very big. Steve Corica actually played alongside the Sydney FC captain, Ryan Grant, during that period when there was a crossover period where they both were teammates. And they're still in contact all the time. They're great mates. They have that bond that comes with former teammates. And then that bond evolved into player and coach. And now it's rival captain and rival coach. So it is an interesting one. Corica is Sky Blue. That's the Sydney nickname. And Steve Corica is one of those emblematic Sydney FC figures.
Dwight York takes Clark one way and then the other. Squares it up. The shots. Sydney draw first blood in the grand final. Stevie Corica.
There's nothing that can take that away, even though it ended a little acrimoniously two seasons ago when he was let go from the club. He still has a lot of respect for it, but knowing Steve Corica the little bit that I do, he will also love getting one over the side that in the end let him go. Jake Girdwood-Reich in the press conference this week said that his entire family are Sydney FC fans until he signed on loan this season for Auckland. His twin sister and his mum are flying across.
Yeah, I've got my twin sister and my mum come over, three friends as well. But yeah, they'll be supporting Auckland FC, I hope.
But they're the kind of stories that run deep in an A-League, where this is not the English Premier League or the Italian First Division. You know, we're not multi-millionaires where these sort of deals happen. These roots, where you grew up, where you played for, they go very deep here. it'll be definitely a very emotional.
Yeah, a little bit emotional. Obviously, I actually supported the club growing up. So, yeah, it's a little bit weird, but, you know, I want to be an A-League champion. So I'm going to do whatever it takes to do that.
It's not the first time that Girdwood Riker's played against Sydney since joining Auckland. It's certainly not the first time that Steve Corica has coached against Sydney. And as you said right off the top, he's never lost. Their only three draws have come in Sydney. They've won both their matches in Auckland against Sydney FC. So obviously Steve enjoys coming up against his former club.
This feels like a really obvious thing to say, but for Sydney FC, stopping Auckland scoring is going to be key. Sam Cosgrove is the Golden Boot winner, having netted 11 goals this season. But on the flip side of that, Harrison Devenish-Mears has kept 11 clean sheets this season and made the save of the season off a Cosgrove shot earlier this year. Is the Sky Blues brick wall going to be enough to stop Auckland, do you think?
I think whatever happens tomorrow night, the defences will be on top because Auckland's defence has been excellent as well. But no one expected Harrison Devenish-Mears to have the season he had. He was, many people tipped that he wouldn't even be the first choice goalkeeper at the start of the season. Devenish-Mears got his opportunity and he just never let go. He's a really interesting character. He's played in Romania. He's got a molecular biology degree from the United States. He's quite spiritual in his approach to the game. And on the pitch this year, we've seen it. That save from Cosgrove in Auckland was just remarkable. It was one of the great moments of the A-League season.
All from Sarkoi into the path of Rogerson. Across towards Cosgrove. What a save! What a save! Save of the season. Harrison Devenish-Mears has pulled off the save of this season.
But Sam Cosgrove also knows what it takes to score against Sydney. He scored against them in Sydney this season. He is a big brute of a number nine up front in the great English tradition of target men up front. He is integral, not only courtesy of his goals, but also what he does up front for Auckland. He will occupy all of that Sydney defence just by himself. He's that big and strong. They will have to keep a very close eye on him. And if you focus too much on Sam Cosgrove, well, then you have Jesse Randall and Lockie Brook who are running off him, who can also cause the dangers.
Very quickly, Robbie, who wins and why?
It's going to be so close, I think, really, and not to sit on the fence. I think everyone's been talking about Auckland and Steve Corica and how much he wants it. Last year, they were surprisingly knocked out at the semi-finals by Melbourne Victory. They are so desperate for it. And paradoxically, I think that could play into Sydney's favour. Sydney are the underdogs. Sydney are looking to become the first team ever to win the A-League outside of Australia as well, just like Auckland are looking to become the first New Zealand side to win a grand final. I just think Sydney have so many passionate attacking players that will drive that side forward. Patrick Kisnorbo, the new coach, who's undefeated in his 7 games in charge of Sydney as well, knows how to get a team up for the occasion. And I just think that might give them the edge.
Robbie Thompson, it's going to be a big occasion regardless. Thanks so much for your time today.
Absolute pleasure.
Corbin Middlemass calls the footy for the ABC, and Corb, there is a lot happening in the AFL this weekend. We have milestones and records deluxe, but there are also some cracking games of footy. I feel like all we've talked about in the AFL world this week and for the last fortnight is the huge milestone on Saturday afternoon, Harley Reid's 50th game. Scott Pendlebury also happens to be playing game 433. Do you have a favourite SP433 fact or stat?
I do. I think my favourite one is that he's played against 6 different father-son pairings. So that's not guys that were taken father-son. That is the father and the son in which he played against across the course of his career. So goes to show just how long he's been in the game. And I know there's been a lot of commentary about it, and it felt like a long run-up. We knew sort of 6 weeks out that he was going to be wearing the gold number. Then he wasn't playing off the short breaks, and then he missed the Sydney trip, and it felt like, you know, Collingwood were trying to orchestrate this game to be played at the MCG so it could be in front of the most amount of people and the Magpie Army and everything else. And so I get that there's a little sense of fatigue with some footy fans, but there is a huge reason why we should be talking about it and celebrating it. It is a once in a more than a decade event. I mean, if you look back over the last 50 years, this record has only been broken 4 times. So KB took the record in the 1980 final series. in 1990. Michael Tuck took it. And I remember sort of growing up in the 90s and the early noughties that people talked about this record like, oh, there's no way that'll ever be broken, 426. And then, of course, Boomer went through it a decade ago. And then we said the same thing then. And then 10 years on, the way that the game's played and Scott Pendlebury not only breaks it, but bursts through it. I mean, when he missed that game against Sydney last week, he was ranked in the top 20 in the competition.
The ageless one, Pendlebury, a phenom.
He's playing some great footy. It is a significant milestone. We all should dip our lid to Scott Pendlebury on what's been incredible longevity over such a period.
Happening at almost exactly the same time is probably the match of the round on field. Top place Sydney taking on Geelong in Geelong, which is just about the toughest place to get a win for a travelling side. Charlie Curnow was the gun recruit for the Swans this off-season. Are they getting enough out of him in season 2026 to maybe cause an upset at the Cattery?
Not at the moment. That they need to see Charlie get back to his best. His game rating against Melbourne a fortnight ago had him ranked the lowest on the ground. So he was 46 of 46. And then he was even bottom seven last week in the game against Collingwood. So his form's been down a little bit. The Swans have got a sneaky good record at Caninja Park. They've won four of their last six down there. And for just about any visiting team, that's as good as it gets when you make that tough trip to play the Cats. And the Cats are humming too after their little slip up on Anzac Day over in Adelaide against the Power, which was a pretty ordinary performance. So that they've come out breathing fire in their game since, with a big win over Collingwood and then going to Brisbane last week and taking down the reigning premiers.
It'll never make up for the heartache of the grand final last year, but the Cats have absolutely demolished Brisbane on their home deck.
It also pits the two best ranked players in the competition since round three against one another, Bailey Smith up against Isaac Heaney. So two of the most informed players in the game. It's a fun matchup at the right time. First versus third. It feels like most people are tipping Geelong. I think I'd probably be in that camp too, given the fact the game's at Caninja Park. And there started to be a few more whispers around the way that Sydney play in that forward handball game and whether it's going to stand up in finals, and have teams found a way to combat it by blocking the corridor and pressing up on them. If ever there's a team that would have an answer to what Sydney are doing, you think it would be a side led by Chris Scott, who's arguably the best coach in the game. So interesting matchup for both teams at a fun stage of the season.
The other game that's caught my eye is the Dogs taking on the D's. Last week, the Bulldogs became just the second side to lose to Carlton this year, and the D's continued their hot streak at the MCG with a win over the Hawks. This match is at Docklands. Are the Dogs too banged up to compete on Sunday afternoon?
Oh, I think so. I was a little bit surprised to see that the Dogs were only about a 4.5-point underdog. And I thought they should be a 4 or 5-goal underdog. Like, I just couldn't understand the way that Melbourne have played. And maybe there's a little bit of a lag here that, from what I've seen in my lights, it feels like Melbourne are as good a team that there is at the moment in the way that they're going about it, that they've showed that they could hang with Sydney away from home. They're playing some electrifying football.
How sweet this would be for Cozzy in front of the Wizard Bay. Melbourne's own magic man.
Yes, it's got that little asterisk, as you said, about the fact it's at Docklands and not at the MCG, where they're undefeated so far this year. But I feel like these aren't two teams in the same weight category at the moment. I feel very confident that this is going to be a Melbourne kind of game. Yeah, I'm surprised Melbourne aren't more of a favourite than what they are here in this game against the Dogs.
You can hear all the games of footy this weekend on the ABC Live and ad-free on the Listen app. Corbin, thank you so much for your time, and enjoy the Saturday Scott Pendlebury extravaganza.
Anytime. Enjoy the footy.
Soundbites. We know that Arsenal are the Premier League champions due to a Man City draw with Bournemouth. All your Arsenal friends have come out of the woodwork, I know. You'd imagine that coach Mikel Arteta was with the team who were filmed going nuts as the final whistle blew. Well, actually, no.
And I went home, went outside to the garden, I started to build some fire and I started to do some barbecue. I didn't watch any of it. I was just hearing some noises in the background, in the living room, and suddenly the magic happened. My oldest son opened the garden door. He started to run towards me. He started to cry. He gave me a hug and said, "We are champions, Daddy."
Nothing beats a barbecue with a side of winning the Premier League. Speaking of food, there's nothing worse than being hungry and having to do media post-match, I'd imagine anyway. So New York Knick Josh Hart found the solution. Roll up to the presser with your pizza and ask the tough questions.
Are you a crust guy?
It depends if it's garlic crust.
Personally, I am a crust guy. And we saw the tragic news this week that Rabbitoh Jai Arrow has retired from rugby league aged 30 after being diagnosed with motor neurone disease. It's a crap situation for Arrow, but other players like Ruben Garrick are already talking about how they can support him and his family.
Yeah, look, I think there's been a bit of talk about trying to get to Try July for Jai. So myself and the rest of the NRL are going to get right behind that. So hopefully we can get behind the motor neurone disease there.
Jai July. We love a play on words and we love raising money for a good cause. Let's make it happen. I'm Poppy Penny and this is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Declan Byrne. Thanks to the A-Leagues and Paramount Plus for the extra audio used in this episode.